It's The Current's Music News, the daily podcast where we tell you what you need to know about what's going on in the music world. Today is Thursday, November 8th. This is Jade. Jay is out doing some investigative journalism for us out at Iceland Airwaves Music Festival, but he'll be checking in with a conversation about the festival a little bit later. Before we hear from Jay, let's check in on the big music news stories of the day. So we may never be invited to a party at Willie Nelson's ranch, but you could attend a tribute to the country legend. An all-star group of musicians will be paying tribute to Willie Nelson on January 12th at the Bridgestone Arena in Nashville. The lineup, of course, is ridiculously good. Alison Krauss, the Avett Brothers, George Strait, Jack Johnson, John Mellencamp, Kris Kristofferson, Leanne Womack, Lyle Lovett, Sheryl Crow will be there, Vince Gill, Norah Jones, and Little Willie's. And I was actually really sad to see that Willie Nelson's buddy, Snoop Dogg, isn't on the list. But there's still time, as additional musicians will be announced in the coming weeks. And according to Rolling Stone, the concert will also feature a performance by Willie Nelson himself. At almost 86 years old, Nelson recently released his own tribute to Frank Sinatra entitled My Way, and the album Last Man Standing both in 2018, so he definitely has a lot he can pull from. And if you want tickets, they go on sale November 12th. I want to be the last man standing. On second thought, maybe I do. Author Haruki Murakami, who writes some really beautiful and strange stories that always have moments of musicality in them. He's spoken in the past about his love for music and how he frequently listens to music while he writes. Well, he is also a rather intense record collector with a current collection of more than 10,000 records. Murakami has announced that he will be donating that notable record collection of his to his alma mater, Waseda University in Tokyo. And it's really unclear as to when this will actually get out there, when people will be able to look at it and appreciate it, because he said, I'm still alive and I have some use for them, which gives me some hope that we have another book perhaps on the way. One of his best-selling books is called Norwegian Wood, so I'm guessing there's some Beatles in that collection. There's always buzz about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, but if you're a lyrics person like me, you might be more interested in the Songwriter Hall of Fame. Earlier today, the 24 nominees for this year's class were announced, and they go into two separate categories, performing and non-performing. Making up some of the performing songwriters are artists like Mariah Carey, Jimmy Cliff, Missy Elliott, Vince Gill, Chrissy Hynde of The Pretenders, Tommy James, Annie Lennox, and Dave Stewart of the Eurythmics. I don't know if that counts as two different people or one individual entity. Mike Love of the Beach Boys. We can all quibble about that one. Jeff Lynne of Electric Light Orchestra. Lloyd Price, John Prine, and Yusuf Islam, more commonly probably known as Cat Stevens. So how do you get nominated? The artist's career has to be at least 20 years old, and they say with a notable catalog of hit songs. So out of those 24 nominees, only six will actually get inducted into the Hall of Fame, which will be determined by the Songwriting Hall of Fame's voting members. And this is my secret plea. Let Missy Elliott in. Not only a producer and songwriter for herself, but she's written a number of songs for other people. So if she makes it this year, she will become the first female rapper to make it into the Songwriting Hall of Fame. Missy be putting it down. I'm the hottest round. Can't stop me now. And like I said, Jay is out in Iceland, but he is checking in and bringing us some very cool stories from Iceland. Today, he is talking to Mark Wheat, one of our hosts here on The Current, and asking him what makes Iceland Airwaves such a unique and interesting music festival.
It started 20 years ago as a one-off in an airplane hangar, so I'm told, and it is still sponsored by Iceland Air, so there's the connection, but it's grown extensively over the 20 years. And first year we went, last year, we went to Akureyri, which is the second city of Iceland, and it had grown that big that they tried to spread it to Akureyri. Now it's scaled back a little bit. There's new ownership, and we're all in Reykjavik this year. And they have changed the nature of the festival because from an outward point of view, they were obviously booking a lot of Icelandic bands for the festival, but more and more international bands would play this festival because it got a great reputation. And Mumford & Sons, for example, said they've always wanted to go to Iceland, so they played last year. My fault in loving you with my heart. Now they've scaled it back, and there's not as many big-name bands from other parts of the world, so it's very Icelandic-centric, which is going to be interesting for us, and I hope it will give our listeners an idea of just how deep and creative the Icelandic people are, even though there's only as many of them as there are in St. Paul, Minnesota.
So for people choosing music festivals, maybe you can only fly to one or two music festivals a year if you know you are lucky to have that kind of opportunity. Why do people choose to go to Iceland Airwaves versus Bonnaroo or Coachella or you name it?
One of the reasons is because Iceland geographically is so stunning. It's like no other place I've ever been to on Earth. In fact, it felt like it's another planet. So I think that's part of the attraction. It really is a different landscape that you're surrounded by immediately. And what struck me last year and what I didn't get from not having ever been to the festival before was how really special the Icelandic community is, because they do really, really stress the creative arts. It's almost like that's one of the most important, if not the most important thing in life to them, is writing or playing music, just being communal too. There doesn't seem to be the kind of competition that you get in a lot of music communities. It's very, very sharing, egalitarian, and pretty unique. So I think that's what draws a lot of people too.
It seems like this is a festival that's really oriented towards music discovery. Mm-hmm. You know that you're going to see a lot of bands or artists that you might not have heard of, and you're going to make some cool discoveries. Who are some of the favorite discoveries you've made last year, and what artists are you looking forward to this year?
Well, I heard a lot about Ásgeir before we went. He's one of the biggest names from Iceland in the last 4 or 5 years. But just getting to meet him in a tiny pub in tiny Akureyri and have him be so warm and open and responsive, and then go and play a show in the big concert hall down the street later that night, was kind of magical. To make our world alive. And 1,000 Naglbitters, who were kind of a punk band, and they came from Akureyri, and we had a great time watching them as well. So for me, kind of in the business, watching the bands that succeed in Iceland has become something that you have to do, which kind of sounds strange for such a small country, but they have produced a lot of great music over the last 10 to 15 years.
What was your most memorable Icelandic experience outside of a musical context last year?
Probably having lunch by the Arctic Ocean. I'd never seen the Arctic Ocean before. And on the drive from Reykjavik to Akureyri, you have to go up on the northern coast, which looks out to the Arctic Ocean. So the waves looked pretty similar to any other ocean, but that was pretty special to me. But again, just feeling the warmth of the community, how friendly the people are, and how magical the musical experiences are that we have there. It's a special place, and that's the thing that stuck with me most from last year's trip.
Great. Thank you, Mark.
And that's today's music news. You can check out more Iceland stories and videos and read more of today's news stories over at thecurrent.org. I'm Jade, and our producer is Luke Taylor. Special thanks to Simone Casares for helping us out so much with today's episode. And don't keep The Current music news all to yourself. Tell your friends, share it. Tell them about how much you enjoy Current Music News podcasts, and you can share with us as well. Let us know what you think in a review on Spotify podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. We'll be back tomorrow with more from Jay in Iceland and a roundup of the best albums out this week.